Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so this is from Brooksville, Florida. I don't. First off, this guy's mugshot. I don't know how someone can have like such a crazy beard, but then have like the straight, totally level bowl cut at the top. Like, how is it all crazy down here and all like super weird up here? I don't get it. Anyway, a convicted felon was found passed out in a car with illegal drugs and a rifle. He was arrested in Hernando County. So this dude was smoking oxycodone. He said he had ankle pain. And so he had to basically smoke oxycodone and methamphetamine and a whole bunch of other stuff, he said, because of his ankle pain. And so I guess he tried to suggest that he had a prescription because it was counted that he had all of these without prescription, plus all of this other stuff. He was a convicted felon in illegal possession of a rifle, so he was already a prohibited possessor. So he got busted. He got taken in to the pokey. And you can't, you know what? Maybe don't fall asleep in your car when you're doing this stuff, like on the side of the road, like a nut job. Don't break the laws. Stay with us, third hour on the way. If you're a regular listener, then you've heard me talk about Kel-Tec and all the reasons why they're one of my personal favorites when it comes to firearms. Privately owned family company, Kel-Tec has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. Driven by creativity, Kel-Tec doesn't just copy other weapons on the market. They innovate new ones, including the new P50. The P50 platform is based around a 50-round double-stack magazine, which lays horizontally along the top of the grip. The 5.7 cartridge comes in several variants, from sporting, hunting, to personal defense, and with how easy it handles, it's smooth shooting because it's well-balanced and thus accurate. You can definitely see Kel-Tec's reliability and quality at work. The P50 is fun on the range, but it's also great for serious home protection. To find out more about the P50 and all other Kel-Tec weapons and products, check out KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Kel-Tec, creating innovative quality firearms to help secure your world. KeltecWeapons.com. I wanted to also get this soundbite in. I put this in Slack. My first thought when I first saw this, I was attracted to this clip because of the poor argument that they were using, but also because they fit 10 progressives in one segment. You know how like sometimes we have guests on here and we put in like it'll be like, you know, two boxes? They have 10. Because they're mad that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said that Alvin Bragg was Soros backed. I want you to listen to this insane discussion. And then I also want you to know that Al Sharpton is sitting there in on it. Oh, boy. Listen, and then if you're watching the simulcast, watch this.
Wondering, he can't help himself. Ron DeSantis embarrassed himself by saying he was going to fight extradition charges like he has any say. I mean, again, one more Republican that really just doesn't give a damn about the Constitution of the United States. And of course, you gotta just.
What's this line?
Look at the Soros back. No, it's just Jews. They're attacking Jewish international bankers.
Oh, my gosh.
It's what anti-Semites have been doing.
Wait a minute. Pause it for a minute. Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Attacking.
I can just pause it right. Oh, my gosh. That's Joe Scarborough. Those two, by the way, are unhinged. Him and his Mika.
Oh, yeah.
I tweeted one thing back at them after they railed at me for like, I don't know how many tweets, and I replied to them, and she was like, how dare you attack me? She was just like a South Park character. How dare you attack me? What are you talking to me? I mean, I literally replied to her. She tweeted me like 5,000 times. So Joe Scarborough's immediate response is, well, it's the Jews. That's his first thing. He actually says, quote, they're attacking Jewish international bankers.
What?
Because Soros, literally all the groups that Soros funds, the Tides Foundation, and through the Tides Foundation, all of these other organizations that get involved in either political activism, nonprofit political activism, etc. They absolutely, I mean, again, all of this stuff is literally available on this thing called the internet. You can go to opensecrets.org and literally look at everything he's given in the past year. Actually, in the past 10 years, 15, 20, you can go back and look. So they're trying to get everyone to not talk about this by claiming that anyone who brings this up is being an anti-Semite. No one's talking about Soros being Jewish. They're talking about him backing restorative justice rot. Okay, go ahead and continue with this, because when they went out with the soundbite and Al Sharpton was sitting there, my jaw hit the floor, and I'll explain why. Sorry, I'm like killing Juan right now. Okay, when you get it, Juan, because we just dropped it in there. They have 10 people in this box. 10 people.
Jewish international bankers. That's what they do. They try to blame everything on Jewish international bankers. It's Germany, 1933.
Oh, my God.
Why does Ron DeSantis further embarrass himself by saying, I'm going to ignore the Constitution and I'm not going to extradite Trump to New York?
Well, I mean.
Yeah, I saw that tweet, Joe. And look, he.
Wondering.
See, now when they went to the full screen, you see Sharpton sitting down there?
Yeah.
What gets me is that. You know, Al Sharpton, who was sitting there on the panel, he actually was, wasn't there a resolution that Scarborough, when he was in Congress, that he submitted when he was on the Judiciary Committee? He was condemning the anti-Semitic remarks and views of Al Sharpton.
Yep.
And there's Joe Scarborough sitting there talking about anti-Semitism with Al Sharpton. Who, when Scarborough, once again, was in Congress, literally submitted a resolution condemning the said racist and anti-Semitic views of Al Sharpton. And he's sitting there, again, on the panel. You cannot make this up, people. I mean, do I need to go and all the stuff? Everybody knows all the stuff that he's done, right? Like Crown Heights. I mean, Sharpton incited a riot and they went through the streets literally yelling, kill the Jews. That was the thing that they were screaming. And he inspired an anti-Semitic riot, which broke out, got a guy stabbed to death. I mean, he had all kinds of anti-Semitic like sayings that he would like yell at these things. And he told one when he was in Tel Aviv. A woman saw him and shouted, go to hell. And Sharpton yelled back, quote, I am in hell already. I'm in Israel. It was his direct quote.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, I can't. Some of the stuff that he has said publicly, I can't even repeat on air. And they got Al Sharpton sitting on that panel. With Joe Scarborough, the guy who literally filed a resolution previously condemning of anti-Semitic rhetoric. And they're talking about. They're trying to sit here and say that any criticism of George Soros is anti-Semitic, which is like saying to anyone who disagrees with me that it's sexist if you disagree with me. It has nothing to do with my sex. That's such a cop-out. I think it's anti-Semitic to invoke the guy being Jewish as a dodge to actually hold him accountable for the actions that he does.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I just want to make everyone aware that the weather is also talking about the Trans Day of Visibility. They said that to promote justice, equality, and equity for the transgender community, the National Weather Service family champions and stands alongside our transgender employees. And as to just to touch on what Steve said, the only time I think that this would ever have anything to do with the weather is shrinkage. Moving on. I didn't say that. These guys did. But they won't tell you what they said because they're chicken. America's Adderall explosion. I had no idea this was happening. How many people are using Adderall? So use of Adderall amongst women in their 20s shot up by a fifth during coronavirus. And 1 in 10 teenage boys, 1 in 10 say that they were prescribed it. They were prescribed the stimulant. Prescriptions for ADHD medication shot up from 20 to 21. Particularly during the pandemic. So yeah, 10% of all teen boys are on meds. Women, it's up to 20%. 41 million Americans have a prescription for Adderall. And weren't there shortages of this? Because I read somewhere along with this, because I was looking at a secondary source and people were saying that there were shortages. That is just insane. I just can't. I'm really shocked. Now get this. Remember the Las Vegas massacre? Very quietly. The FBI documents have given a new view into this murderer's mindset. He apparently was a high-stakes gambler, and he apparently also, he was angry over how casinos were treating him because he was a high roller, according to fellow gamblers. An FBI interview with his one friend who was a gambler is detailed in hundreds of pages of documents that were made public this week. The name's redacted, but the gambler said that he believed the stress could have easily caused this guy to snap. Because the killer was a video poker player and gambling was his main source of income. So this is some insight that you've they've again very quietly they put out and you haven't heard. And you could make six figures as a prompter for ChatGPT. They're looking for people who can just put keywords in. No joke. All huge things. You have the TikTok psyop helping to drive division further. It's even less about data. All of this, you got to watch what they're trying to distract you from when stuff like this happens. Then you have this story going along with it, the CRT, all of this. Let me pull this up. Wall Street Journal. The U.S. is considering asking Black Americans on census if they are slave descendants. The change would help quantify eligibility for reparations should the government agree to pay them. So you thought this was only going to be limited to California, huh? The Biden administration is asking the public for input on how it might go about differentiating Black people who are descendants of slaves in America from those whose families arrived more recently as immigrants from sub-Saharan Africa, the Caribbean, or other countries, reports the Wall Street Journal. The idea of adding more detailed categories to the census has been gaining currency among some Black Americans who say society too often conflates their experiences with those of Black immigrants, who only within the past few decades started moving to the United States in meaningful numbers. Roughly 1 in 5 Black people in the U.S., according to the Wall Street Journal, are immigrants or their children, according to an analysis by the Pew Research Center. Now, supporters pushing the change say the big reason they're pushing it is to quantify who would be eligible to receive reparations for slavery should the government ever agree to pay them. Now, this, it is truly anti-American to push something like this. You're penalizing people who did nothing for victimizing people who have been dead for, you know, 100 years. A couple hundred, I mean, going all the way back to when? Early 19th century. I mean, this is, it is unbelievable. And they talk about this guy, Chad Brown, spokesperson for the National Assembly of American Slavery Descendants. He says America sees Black people as a monolith. I think that all identity politic people do. And I think even the people who are advocating for this do. Because, case in point, there are so many stories of people now who maybe they have blue eyes and an Irish-sounding last name. But back in their family tree, they have a great-great-great-however ex-grandmother who maybe was brought to the United States by slave traders. How does that figure out? How do reparations then figure into that equation? And are we just assuming that it's just Black Americans? What about Irish Americans? Anyone who denies that is ignorant of American history. The horrific way in which Irish Americans were treated. I mean, I could go on and on. You're essentially only paying for skin color. That is anti-American. It is the opposite of E Pluribus Unum. It is in the face of every reason why this republic was created. But this is what the Biden administration is pushing. It's all about division. Do you remember growing up how the phrase melting pot was a word? Was a readily acknowledged phrase as a goal of the U.S. because it was never about identity. It was about freedom. Now, apparently, it's politically incorrect to even say that. They make it politically incorrect, not because it's mean-spirited, but because it actually discusses the truth. They can't have this idea that people are united in this country by the ideal of freedom. They need you divided and feeling oppressed. And they're making this happen.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.